listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Get the latest Cleveland Browns draft coverage directly from the source, which is us. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. I want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, also via Twitter, at Browns underscore daily. So we're going to get into some of your responses. We'll take a call or two here, and then Megan Rock is going to also read us some tweets that we'll respond to as well. Rick and Talmadge on the line. Rick, what do we got?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, brother.
One thing I'd like to see, be able to challenge these pass interferences on some of these calls.
Challenge the interference call itself. You know, and it's interesting, Rick, because it's there as a judgment call, obviously, and sometimes that judgment, I think, is flawed. We clearly can see that. And, you know, I know a lot of people have brought that up, especially because of how that New England game ended for the Browns last year, Mike. And, you know, you and I were there, and I think we had the same kind of responses. mainly our thought was too much time left for Tom Brady, but it was too much time left for Tom Brady and some questionable officiating.
Yeah, that will always stick out to us, Vic, in the corner of the end zone at Gillette. Geez. Yes. But, you know, and we're seeing a lot on Twitter, and I know Megan's going to give us an idea, but there, I think the vast majority of you, of our listeners and followers today are discussing the ability to maybe allow defensive backs a whole lot more latitude, right, as far as making pass interference looked at a little bit differently, jams, being able to hit receivers beyond 5 yards and those sort of things. I'm sure Megan has a lot with regard to that.
Yes, we're going to get into those. We got to get one more call in here. Phil in Brecksville. What do you got, Phil?
Vic, sorry for your loss. Michael, nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, Phil, good to be with you.
Thanks. Two quick things. You know, that excessive celebration rule, I remember it, I think it was a New England game, was one of the tight ends at the end. He didn't even know what he did. And I remember we had a onside kick that didn't make it. The second thing is, since you guys are both there and since Alex Mack and Sanchez are both in the news a lot, I'm wondering what you guys thought, because I remember when Mack was picked, Sanchez was on the board.
Right.
Michael, I'm wondering what you thought of that. Were you ready to go to Sanchez instead of Mack?
Not so much Sanchez, but that was when Eric Mangini, if you remember, Phil, traded down three times in the first round to pick Alex Mack. You know, the one thing that keeps sticking out to me with Mark Sanchez, and of course, you know, Vic, I guess because the general consensus is, you know, the kid can't play and, you know, should flush him out of the league. But I got to go back to those first couple years with Rex Ryan, and Mike Patton was there as the DC when Sanchez took that football team to the AFC Championship game in back-to-back years, his rookie and second year in the league.
There's no denying that happened, and
they had a fabulous defense. Yes,
on NFL.com, I've actually defended him. I wrote columns in defense of him, and a lot of people will be quick to remind me that but defense and other elements were propping him up. But you know, the fact that he was a complimentary part to that, you know, was important. All right, Megan Rock is going to hit us with some of the Twitter activity we've been getting. Megan, what do we got?
All right, so at JJ just said, he said, penalties for any and all celebrations after the play. And then he continued to say, to elaborate, the sport is football, not Dancing with the Stars. They look like idiots.
Well, and it's about, okay, so,
nice,
so two thoughts here. It's about the look, I know, or the feel, and I think that goes into the whole conduct thing that we were talking about with the penalties that have been called for taunting, because this ties into this point that that JJ's making as well, is the professional kind of look that you have for your game or you don't have with it. But people will immediately pounce and say that's a no fun league approach. But I think there's a difference between fun and taunting that is unsportsmanlike.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't love
fine
that.
Line there.
I don't love it. I'm not saying it kills my interest in the game in any way, but I think you can limit the doses of it.
Yeah. Well, again, a very fine line there, and it's going to be interesting to see. how far do you take just the definition of taunting? I mean, where do you want to go with it? And, again, a lot of people, Vic, don't care. I mean, you know, a lot of fans, they don't care. Let guys do whatever they got to do against their opponent because, obviously, usually if you're taunting somebody, you're celebrating something that, you know, was real positive for you and your football team. I don't think fans really care about it that much.
No.
Again, ask the players how the players feel about it. Bring them in on it.
What else we got, Megan?
All right, the at Orlando Browns backers. He says, my rule change, solid colored from thighs to armpits on uniforms. Replay can easily ID contact point inside the legal hit area.
Huh. Solid colors from thigh pads
from the
to armpits.
To armpits, yeah.
To armpits to sort of
make
that the that target
would be,
area, I
make
guess.
Make the target area in terms of where
interesting.
Hits are legal.
Okay. Wow. No, All right. That's you know what? I now that I'm hearing that and I've heard someone else mention that kind of at the league level, I mean, I don't want to see an actual target, but is there a way to do that in a design manner that's going to look okay, or are you going to sort of like create an odd look for your team and for your players? We got one more tweet in there you want to share?
All right. Lance Schmidt says, microchips in the footballs. I've been saying that for years, Vic. Would also
Vic
add
mentioned
spotting
it earlier.
Accuracy on out-of-bounds punts.
All right. Thank you very much for that, Megan.
What about one more. What about the loose ball? The loose ball.
Right.
What about making that reviewable? Do you like that? A loose ball that's recovered, and, you know, when you get the football squirting around, whether it's out of a fumble.
Don't we have that, though? I thought there were replays on all change of possession. I thought so, but maybe I'm wrong. I thought most, if not all, change of possessions were reviewed for that very reason. But I think it's the camera angle thing that comes into play, too. When that ball gets lost in a forest of bodies, and you're the regional, you're a game that's not reaching enough of the country, therefore limited number of cameras. And again, discussed this a little bit yesterday with Jim Donovan, the inequity of cameras because more are there for the Sunday night, Monday night, Thursday night games, fewer for almost every other game with the exception of maybe the late afternoon CBS Fox games. But anyway, a lot to digest there with the rules talk. And again, Megan Rock, thank you so much for breaking those down for us from a Twitter world. And for those of you who submitted those, really, really appreciate that. Always want to hear from you, 216-578-0850 at Browns_Daily. All right, we're going to have some discussion about the loss of an NFL pioneer, the owner of the Buffalo Bills passing yesterday, Mr. Ralph Wilson. Mark Gaughan is going to join us from the Buffalo News, and we'll get some thoughts from him on what that means also going forward. And I know this man, Wilson, had a real affinity for Cleveland, for the Browns, and for the market here as a person who was a longtime NFL guy. We're going to hear from Nathan Zagura in a little while as well. He'll check in with us by phone. Vic Carucci and Michael Rega, you're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily. We are driven proudly by Liberty Ford.